Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a wonderful day today. It's actually starting to cool down in Florida. I was surprised. Last night I was out a little bit, and it was actually getting cooler last night. So that was quite exciting. And how are you doing up there, Dad?
Oh, weather's absolutely stunningly beautiful. Just, I mean, it's gorgeous. It's probably right now 74, 75. I take it back. It's 62 degrees here. I'm sitting in the sun, so I thought it was a little humorous. 62 degrees, clear blue skies. No chemtrails, absolutely gorgeous. I want to come out with an article today. This is interesting. George W. Bush, this is the same skull and bones, put me in a casket naked with another guy's skull and bones, George Bush. Now, I'm going to repeat that so I can hear it. This is the same George Bush, skull and bones, George Bush, who put me in a casket with another guy naked, George Bush. Tell me your deepest, darkest, sickest things you'd ever want to talk about. That's the kind of perverted stuff these guys do with skull and bones at Yale. They're a bunch of weirdos. Remember, these are the same guys that used the place setting from Adolf Hitler, you know, as their primary, with the Nazi swastikas and everything else on it, as their primary place settings when they have lunch and dinner. I mean, this is some crazy stuff up there, skull and bones. And the George W. Bush, skull and bones boy, comes out of retirement. You know, this is the guy with like the 80 IQ to throw shade at Trump as he denounces the bullying and the prejudice in politics and praises the value of immigration. Former U.S. President George Bush left little doubt about how he feels about Donald Trump on Thursday. A rare speech in New York City was filled with veiled barbs of the current president's direction. Bullying and prejudice in our public life sets a national tone, he said, and provides permission for cruelty and bigotry. Bigotry seems emboldened. Our politics seem more vulnerable to conspiracy theories and outright fabrication. Oh boy, here we go. How about 9/11? Bush also slammed Trump's trade isolationism and complained that we've seen nationalism distorted into nativism and forgotten immigration's dynamism. I mean, guys, somebody must have written this speech for this guy because he could have never come up with these words on his own. The sad part about this guy is I met him. I mean, I haven't sat down, but I've stood there and I've talked to him for a bit at Southeastern University in Lakeland a few years ago. I met his wife, whatever her name was. And he really, when you meet him in person, it's like the other Bushes. I've met all three of the Bush boys and the father. Well, both Bush boys and the father. Haven't met the other one. And they're really nice people when you sit and talk to them or stand and talk to them. Now, they really don't come across as being weird. But you got to remember what they're involved in. Remember, William Howard Taft was also a skull and bones boy. He's the one who split the election with Roosevelt and gave Wilson the election. Back in, you know, when Woodrow Wilson won and put the Federal Reserve in 1912, and when he put the Federal Reserve in 1913. So this guy, Boy Bush, is the one who brought us to Iraq. He's the one who basically made up the story about the weapons of mass destruction. He basically started us in this never-ending 16-year war with Afghanistan. He's the one who started opening the doors to immigration into the United States, which Obama did not just open the doors, he opened the floodgates to immigration. And now he's criticizing Trump because Trump slammed his brother Jeb at the debates and told everybody how weak Jeb was. You're weak, Jeb, you're weak. I remember hearing him say that at the debates, which I thought was great. But the reality is guys, the Bushes really have they live in a glass house. And for them to throw rocks at anybody blows my mind, especially with George Bush Sr., head of the CIA, deeply involved in the presidential Kennedy assassination, according to many historians, sitting here and talking about a new world order and all the things that he's talking about back in his speech back in the 90s, and also with what he did with Kuwait. I mean, what an absolute disaster this guy was and still is. And I know him. I sat down and had dinner with George Bush Sr. I mean, at the table, it was me, Sharon, George Bush, Tony Robbins' wife, and Peter Lowe and his wife. I think there were like six or seven of us at dinner that night at a table. And it was really a nice dinner, and everybody was very, very cordial to one another. But the crazy thing about this is, guys, I didn't know what I know now about what has happened in the history with the Bushes. And had I started asking questions about all of that, I would have immediately been drummed off the seminar circuit and never been invited to come in and do another presentation, because they don't want you talking to these guys and asking them questions about their past or the fact his father led, remember this, Prescott Bush led an attempted coup in 1933 against the United States of America and tried to bring Smedley Butler in, who was the most decorated general, war hero, two Congressional Medals of Honor from World War I, to lead the battle to overthrow the United States of America, get rid of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and install a fascist government in the United States. This is the same Bush. So here he is throwing rocks at Donald Trump, like we all don't know his history of his family, and then the Skull and Bones, and Prescott Bush, and all of these other weird things they've been involved in. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, he's been involved in a ton of stuff. Just like you said, I mean, as far as with us invading Iraq with no precedent, there was no nuclear weapons over there. There was none of that. That's a whole... 9/11 happened under Bush Jr.
Awesome.
I mean, that, in my opinion, I mean, he knew all about that. That thing was so orchestrated and so well planned. I mean, it was ridiculous how well it went through. And the thing about it is, for him to sit there and do that to Trump, he's clearly being told what to say. Even listen to what Dad just said a second ago. That wasn't Bush Sr. or Bush Jr. speech at all, as far as the way he talked.
Yeah.
And the only reason he's doing that now is to go along with the mainstream narrative to try to throw more rocks at Trump, as the mainstream narrative has continued to do now, to try and demonize him in every single light. And now, out of the blue, Trump Jr., or Bush Jr., is going to sit there and try and broadcast how great immigration is and this and that. And the thing about it is, guys, yes, in a population that really needs more individuals for working force that needs to expand, I mean, this whole country was built on immigration from the very, very beginning. But when you reach a certain point in a country to where the infrastructure, the schools, the roadways, the hospitals cannot handle a higher population, yet you continue to let in millions and millions and millions of undocumented immigrants that aren't even legally supposed to be here. Perfect example right now. I mean, this shouldn't even be an argument or a discussion, but yet it is. They're saying now this federal judge has now told the Trump administration that a 15-week pregnant undocumented teenager that was apprehended last month on the U.S.-Mexico border must be allowed to obtain an abortion promptly and without delay, the federal judge told the Trump administration. Jane Doe, as the 17-year-old illegal immigrant is known in court documents, has a constitutional right to an abortion, the U.S. District Judge Tanya Clinton from the District of Columbia ruled on Wednesday. Scott Stewart, who's the U.S. Deputy Assistant Attorney General, did not convince the judge that a teenager who remains in government custody in Brownsville, Texas, should return to her home country, okay, if she doesn't want to carry the pregnancy to term or otherwise try and find a U.S. sponsor. He goes on to say, I am astounded on this position. He goes, I respectfully disagree that she's entitled to an abortion expedited by the U.S. government. And for them to even think, I mean, this judge up in D.C. to even think this is a reasonable question, a reasonable request, it boggles my mind. Absolutely, she needs to be taken back down to Mexico, wherever she's from, wherever her family is, wherever she came from, and she can handle what she wants to do down there. But sitting there saying that she came across, and this is the issue that has arose for the last 20, 30 years in the United States. The women, and I'm not picking on anybody down in Mexico, I'm not, but a lot of them have done this. They get pregnant, they come across the border intentionally as fast as they can while they're pregnant. As soon as they get here, they're pregnant, so they're allowed to stay here. They have a baby here, and they have what has been termed now as an anchor baby because they can't be deported because they're the mother of essentially a U.S. citizen. That's exactly what this girl is trying to do. Her parents more than likely tried to push her up here so they could get her up here and then so she can bring them up there once she has the baby. But now she wants to turn around and say she wants to have an abortion. The whole thing boggles my mind that we're even having a discussion on it. So sitting here saying we need more immigration, illegal immigration is good, more Muslims is good, more people in this country that don't need to be here is good. That's just that liberal leftist mindset, just nonsense jargon that's intentionally trying to ruin the fabric of the United States and ruin the really the moral Christian compass we have in this country, because a lot of the people coming here don't have that hard-working ideology that a lot of the migrants did and immigrants did when they came here in the 18 and early 1900s, Dave.
Well, always remember, you know, when Obama said something correctly, you know, this is not a Christian country. We were a Christian country at one time, but we're not a Christian country anymore. Our rulers, so to speak, our congressional leaders, very few of them are born-again Christians. Very few of them espouse Christianity. A lot of them are Jewish, and they absolutely loathe Christ and loathe Christianity. They have a deep-seated generational hatred towards Christians. And so we have to understand who we put in charge of the United States. This morning, I'm up here in the gym working out, And I had read you an email or a text from a man a few months back who had blamed every ill of the entire world on Donald Trump and basically said that Donald Trump was destroying our country, et cetera, et cetera. And he's Jewish. And his, I met his wife this morning in the gym. He wasn't there. And she's also Jewish. And I asked her, I said, that we were talking. She said that she was talking about how I said, well, do you even believe in God? And she goes, well, yeah, of course I believe in God. I said, well, your husband doesn't believe in God. And she goes, well, yeah, he does. I said, no, he does. I said, you don't even know what your husband believes in? I said, I've talked about this at length. He believes in space aliens, like Prometheus in the movie. I said, he has no belief in God whatsoever. I said, but the problem is he doesn't want to think through where did these space aliens come from? Who made them? He don't want to think through that. And I said, so the reality is this. I said, do you believe in God? She goes, well, yes, I do. She goes, but I don't believe in your Jesus. That's what she said, just like that.
Whoa.
And I said, and I looked at her kind of funny, and I said, well, I figured you did not because you basically are Jewish. But now, if I had not been in a public setting, if I had been in their home or been somewhere else, which I doubt I ever will be in their home, I would have said to her, well, which Jesus do you believe in? Do you believe that Jesus ever listed, dream was ever alive? Or do you believe, like the Babylonian Talmud says, that Jesus Christ was a dormant, that was a demon-possessed sorcerer who died in a vat of sewage? Now, which one do you believe? Do you just believe that he was a prophet? Or do you believe he was a demon-possessed sorcerer? Or do you not believe what your own Babylonian Talmud says, which is what you say you believe in? So that's what I would have asked her. See, this is what we have to understand. When we talk about Christianity, Austin, on this show, I'm talking about a born-again relationship with Jesus Christ, with Yeshua, through Yahweh, by saved by the blood of the Lamb. It's kind of like these Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heavens and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His Son, our...
Hey, guys, sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened. It looks like full internet service dropped us with our provider. I'm not sure really what was going on with that. We're getting Dad back here in a minute. But going back to what he was saying as far as this absolute diametrically opposed generation we have now to Christianity. Now, back in 1925, the American Legion erected a memorial in Bladensburg to honor the memory of 49 men who perished during World War I. It's a 40-foot-tall memorial known as the Peace Cross. It's really pretty. Now, in 2014, the American Humanist Association, a group that believes in being good without a God, filed a lawsuit alleging that the cross-shaped memorial was unconstitutional and demanding it be demolished, altered, or removed. They allege, listen to this, the cross carries an inherently religious message and creates the unmistakable appearance of honoring only Christian servicemen. On Wednesday now, yesterday, the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals agreed and ruled now, after 3 years, that the historic memorial must be torn down. The Fourth Circuit said the memorial excessively entangles the government and religion because the cross is the core symbol of Christianity and breaches the wall separating church and state. First off, the entire ideology behind this is totally twisted. So if that's the case, then that means every single war memorial, every single cemetery, if it's offensive to you, that you can basically commission the government to come in and force you to take crosses down. It's total nonsense. But again, as Dad just said, we have the entire government going against Christianity. The American Legion, who now is going to appeal this directly to the Supreme Court, said today's decision sets a dangerous precedent by completely ignoring history, and it threatens the removal and destruction of veterans memorials across America. The memorial has stood in honor of local veterans for almost 100 years, and it's lawful under the First Amendment. To remove it will be a tremendous dishonor to the local men who gave their lives during World War I. This war that we're seeing now, guys, against religious liberty and tradition American values is far from over. It is just getting worse. They're going to continue to push and push and push. It's so ironic to me that judges will rule Black Lives Matter and Antifa members have the right to run around and literally demolish cities and completely just, I mean, assault people because it's their First Amendment right to protest while they're throwing bottles of urine and feces on people. Yet a cross right. That's been at this memorial for World War I, since World War I, it's been there for 100 years, and the Fourth Circuit now is saying, nope, it basically crosses the line between separation of church and state, which is total garbage, and they're basically making them tear this down. The militant group of basically atheists and agnostics are trying to eradicate Christianity in public. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make sure there is no perception of Christianity anywhere. No crosses, no Jesus, no crucifix, nothing. They do not want God Almighty, Yeshua, Yahweh, any way we refer to it, they do not want it being said in public. And the only way to stop this is for us, the people of Christ, to basically stand together and fight back, whether it's in courts, whether it's physically, whether it's verbally, whatever we have to do, we have to stand strong on this, because if we all sit back idly by and say, well, that cross, you know, that really is not that big of a deal. It's been there for 100 years. It's not that big of a deal doing that. Where does it stop? It that's the issue that happens. And where does it stop, Dad? And that's the issue I have with lust, of exactly what you were just saying. It's not going to stop if everybody just sits back, doesn't bring this stuff up, doesn't talk about it, doesn't call these absolutely blithering idiots out. But I know we got cut out earlier on this show a minute ago. You were discussing the lady in the gym before it cut out. I think we both cut out at the same time, so I want you to pick back up so everybody can hear that story.
Well, no, this is crazy, Austin. I don't know how it's just tell me how much I talked to you. Heard. I talked to her. I met her husband a few months ago here up in North Carolina, and he's Jewish. And he's the one who told me not to tell anybody he's Jewish because he doesn't want anybody to be prejudiced against him being a Jew. And I said, okay. And so I told him, I said, are you ashamed of being a Jew? He goes, no, I just like being up here, and there's a bunch of Christians up here, and they don't like Jews. And I'm like, well, I haven't picked up on that whatsoever. And I said, but, you know, it's okay. So I had in-depth discussions with him, and he's an atheist. He believes that we, like, were put here by a foreign species, like an alien of some type, and he doesn't even believe in God or Yahweh or Yeshua or anything. I mean, he's a total atheist. And so I started talking to his wife. I met his wife this morning in the gym when I was working out there with Sharon, and she told me she was Steve's wife. And I said, okay, great. And I said, are you also Jewish? And she goes, well, yes, of course. You know, like, you know, okay. So I said, all right. And I said, well, do you believe in God? She goes, well, yes, I believe in God. And I said, well, Steve doesn't believe in God. She goes, yes, he does. I said, no, he doesn't. I said, you guys have been married for 30, 40 years. You don't even know what your husband believes. I said, he doesn't believe in God at all. And she goes, well, I don't believe in Jesus. And I said, well, you know, that's kind of an open statement. I let it drop. I didn't say anything. I almost asked her, I said, but do you believe he existed? Do you believe he was ever alive? Do you believe what the Babylonian Talmud teaches, that he was a demon-possessed sorcerer who died in a vat of sewage? I didn't ask her those things. I was trying not to provoke her. And I thought to myself, this is absolutely nuts. I said, here we are in a country with Congress, with a bunch of dual citizenship people, not being Christian whatsoever. Most of our local county seats and governments aren't Christians either. We've got a bunch of Masonic Lodge people running everything inside the governments. And the sad part about it is, Austin, is that we've slowly slid down this slippery slope because of the division of church and state. This is why when you see people like wanting to take a cross down that's been there for 100 years, you begin to realize how far down this slippery slope that we've slipped. Because what's happened is we've no longer have promoted Christianity the way it was promoted from the pulpit back in 1776, with the power and the authority of the living God, of the Word of God. We've got this name it, claim it, blab it, grab it nonsense. They don't, and I've talked about this before. You know, you guys know I don't like it. And I don't like it. Now, if you want to be a motivational speaker and you want to talk about this kind of stuff and be motivating to people, okay, but don't call yourself a preacher, don't call yourself a pastor, don't call yourself a man of the cloth if all you want to do is do the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it stuff. Don't do that, because that type of Christianity doesn't move mountains. That type of Christianity does not take America back. That type of Christianity believes there's more than one way to the Father, which there's not. That type of Christianity makes everybody accepted no matter what and how they live, and there's no moral absolutes for any of the people in those types of churches in some cases, because the pastors in many cases are living these really, really ridiculous lifestyles. And guys, I'm not talking about wealth. I'm not talking about that kind of lifestyles. I'm talking about homosexual lifestyles. I'm talking about adultery lifestyles. I'm talking about murder. I'm talking about drug running. I'm talking about all of this stuff. Now, guys, you say, well, that can't be true. I'm telling you guys, I've seen it. I know too much. I can't talk about it because it'll be too easy to figure out who I'm talking about. I've seen a lot of that stuff behind the scenes, so to speak. I'm talking about marriages that are a joke. I'm talking about adultery that happens all of the time. I'm talking about filthy language. I'm talking about drunkenness. I'm talking about major preachers on TV. If you ever watch Christian TV, you know exactly who I'm talking about. And that's what this is whole. All that's what the name it, claim it, grab it turns into, because you lose your moral absolutes. That's a major, major problem for people. in Christian circles today, and that's why we've slid down this slippery slope of collectivism in the United States, and that's why more and more people are wanting the government to give them things, because they don't realize the Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. And we have to teach these Christian work ethics, these Protestant work ethics, to your children and make them understand who and what we are and how the United States of America became the United States of America. By the way, another article from the Daily Mail. Putin says that Russia has now caught up with the U.S. missile capabilities and will respond if America quits the Cold War arms treaty. Putin says they will respond immediately and symmetrically if the United States quits the Nuclear Armed Forces Treaty. Moscow is also ready to develop new weapons systems, both nuclear and non-nuclear. I'm sure these are space-based systems. The Russian leader condemned North Korea's nuclear test, but insisted the crisis around the North Korean peninsula should be resolved through dialogue. And I'm going to say this again. The North Korea issue is not a United States problem. I don't know why Trump's making it a problem for the United States. This is China's problem. Because if North Korea gets up in a war with us and they end up mass pouring across the border into China, this would be a major, major problem for China. And Russia and China should have already handled North Korea. And all Trump is doing by talking about the little fat man over there in North Korea is making the situation worse and worse and worse and giving this guy credibility. Trump just needs to ignore him. If he lobs something our way, let's shoot it down. Then we can do what we have to do as far as responding. But don't give these guys the opportunity to do a false flag, Austin, and blame it on this guy from North Korea. That's where this thing is headed again. It always seems to be we need a precipitating incident again. What do you think?
Oh, you're right. I mean, a lot of this stuff's all obfuscation that's going on. I mean, same thing like this whole story now that the mainstream media won't even discuss as far as with Clinton and Obama and the FBI and everybody involved in the plutonium, the atomic energy business that basically Russia was doing. And all that evidence has come out now. A lot of the information's come out now. Supposedly, from what I've been reading, WikiLeaks, Assange, Julian Assange, said if they're basically not brought up on federal charges by October 21st, and he was referring to the controversial deal in 2010 giving Moscow control of a huge swath of American uranium out of Canada. And so all this stuff now, they've obtained the eyewitness accounts backed by documents indicating Russia's nuclear officials had routed millions of dollars to the U.S. designed to benefit former Bill Clinton's charitable foundation during the time Secretary of State Hillary Clinton served on the government body that provided a favorable decision to Moscow, essentially $145 million directly tying Hillary Clinton in with this whole Russian fiasco trying to obtain uranium. So this is something the mainstream media has refused to discuss, but apparently WikiLeaks has a bunch more information, and if they don't do something about it, Assange said he's dropping it on Saturday. So we'll see if he actually follows through with that. He definitely has some interesting info. The problem is, most of the time, the mainstream media, all they try to do is spin it, but I do have to give him credit. A lot of that stuff that he dropped right before the election, in my opinion, did an incredibly good job at exposing Hillary for who she really is and really turned around the election for Trump, because it was going to be, I mean, they were going to put Hillary in, and it was like after all that stuff came out, especially all the blood drinking and all that weird stuff that came out that he released, it was, everybody was like, whoa, that's a bit much. I can handle Hillary, she's pretty weird, but we'll take her anyways. That's what the liberals were saying. When it hit that, a lot of people were like, this is just too much, there's nothing else that I need to see now, I am done with that. So yeah, we'll see what happens with all that as ongoing, well, especially on Saturday. Also, too, just getting everybody heads up in California, as I continue to tell everybody this, I really hope a lot of people out west are prepared for any situation. A swarm of small earthquakes, including 185 tremors and other smaller earthquakes, is growing just in the last 6 days out in California and around the Mammoth Lakes area. The strongest quake occurred Thursday, October 19th, which was today, at 4:50 a.m. and registered a 3.1 on the Richter, was followed by another 2.8 a few hours later. And then there's been 185-plus small tremors. There's some weird stuff going on in California. We know that there's a lot of activity out there regardless, no doubt about it. There's a ton of activity under the ground out there, but it's definitely been seeming to pick up over the last couple of years. And now, what, 2 days ago, they had a huge, you know, survival thing that they did as far as a test run to get people prepared for earthquakes out there. So I'll say this again, as I continue to say it, if you live out there, make sure you got a bug out bag, make sure you got preparations in place. You can literally live off the grid out of your bag for at least a week on end with water purification, food, clothing, survival tools, weapons, whatever you deem necessary in your survival bag. I highly suggest you keep one in your car because, in my opinion, this is going to happen in California in the very near future. It's not an if, it's a when, so it's best to be prepared for any situation. There's way too much seismic activity out there right now that nobody's wanting to talk about, and it's going to lead up to something very big, in my opinion, Deb.
Well, the thing with California, it's always been just, you know, on the precipice of that San Andreas fault doing something crazy. Also, I want to mention back about WikiLeaks one more time. And you're right, Austin, when he released the Podesta emails with the soul cooking parties and the drinking of the blood and all the stuff that's mixed with the blood, all the sick stuff they were doing, that's when people finally said, we've had enough of this. And that's when they finally, the deep state portion that did not want Hillary Clinton, decided to go against her and not allow her to win the election. That was Steve Panicek, and he came out and released that information 1 week before the election, including her child trafficking and all the stuff that she was involved in. So it was a major, major problem, the pedophilia that they're involved in. I mean, these are some sick people. By the way, Europe's new official history is erasing Christianity and it's promoting Islam. I mean, this is just nuts. The patrons of the false Europe seem to be bewitched by superstitions of inevitable progress. They believe that history is on their side, and this faith makes them haughty and disdainful, unable to acknowledge the defects in the positional post-cultural world they are constructing. I mean, this is nuts. German Interior Minister Thomas de Maizière's proposal to introduce Muslim public holidays shows that when it comes to Islam, Europe's official post-Christian secularism is simply missing in action. Guys, here's the problem with this. This is what Europe always does. It precedes the United States in what happens in Europe.
Yep.
I mean, it's kind of like, I'm telling you, this is where they are in Germany. Germany, they very rarely even go to church ever there any longer. The church is like a joke. And the sad part about it is that now they're embracing Islam, and they don't understand what happened in the 1400s, you know, when the Moors, the Islamic folks, had come in and completely almost taken over Europe, and they were driven out. They don't get this. When they come in, it's as a warrior race to come in and force people to accept Islam under the threat of being beheaded. I mean, this is not okay. And this is exactly what's going on in Europe right now. And now they're embracing the Islamic culture again. And the people are too stupid there to realize what's going to happen to them if they go down this road. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's exactly what's going on. I mean, it's the thing of the whole aspect of what they're trying to do is it's been very slow, except for the mass migration for the last couple of years in Europe. But they're doing it slowly. They've already said now in Germany, where I talked about this a couple of months ago, that they're going to start recognizing Muslim holidays in Germany. Like, I mean, like shutting down the post office, shutting down banks to recognize Muslim holidays in Germany now. And little things like that that people go, ah, well, that's not a big deal. Give it another 5 years and see what they start doing. Give it another 10 years and see what it starts doing. They'll reach a point to where the Muslim holidays and the Muslim religion and the Muslim ways of life will eventually completely take over the fabric of society in Germany, to the point when you go there, you'll see more people and more females running around in burqas and having their face covered than you see women and other people that don't. That's where it's going to go if this continues to allow. And they, and the worst part, I think, to me about it isn't that these people are moving in there. Is that there's a concerted effort from the globalists to force these EU states into submitting to this culture. That's what makes me so angry about it, is they're making them turn around and essentially leave any type of Christian value that was left in Europe and embrace this Islamic behavior, which if anybody, and I go on all the time, so I'm not going to rant about Islam or anything like that. If you guys know anything about it, though, there's nothing positive about this religion. There's nothing easy about it as far as it coming into society. It always comes in as a slow-growing cancer that seems, oh, it's not a big deal, it's not going to get that much bigger, there's nothing really wrong with it, they can just kind of do their thing. And as soon as they start controlling between 5 to 10% of the population, it turns into a violent cancer, and it continues to take over the entire population until it rules everything. And you see how that's worked for them in the Middle East. You see how well that's done for them over there with that religion. That's what they do. So when you have a violent extremist base as your religion, to where if you don't agree with me, if you don't abide by my religion, I cut your head off. You don't accept Islam, I cut your head off. You do anything that I don't agree with, I cut your head off. Dude, you can't live like that. That's barbaric. And that's what they still live by over there in the Middle East. And now they're trying to force that culture into Europe. And if they do really succeed in doing this, which I really pray they don't, it will completely ruin Europe. There were reasons for the Crusades. I don't agree with every aspect of them. If you guys know any history on them, I've done a lot of history on them. But there were significant reasons, especially for the First and Second Crusade. And you know what? I don't advocate violence, and I don't advocate killing anybody at all, but I am saying that if this continues to go the route it is, there's not going to be any other option as far as trying to take Europe back over. It will eventually turn into a Muslim state, and there's nothing they're going to be able to do about it then.
That's absolutely the truth. Oh, by the way, this is from KDKA, CBS Pittsburgh. This is an interesting article. This fourth grade teacher had a kid who basically had a cell phone in the classroom, and the teacher passed the cell phone away from the child. And the district has no cell policy. The teacher was identified as 46-year-old Janice Watkins, who confiscated a phone from a fourth grader girl, who then allegedly bit her. I mean, the girl like attacked her like an animal and bit her like she was like a dog or something. Like, you know, the girl's a dog. Sources say the student's parents came to school, even with the mother allegedly telling the teacher she was going to get even after the girl bit the teacher. The sources say, of course, the cell phone was given back to the girl, to the parents. But the sources say the girl's parents then followed and stalked Watkins in her car as she went to get the bite wound checked out at a local clinic, I guess, to make sure she had a, make sure it was clean and she wasn't going to get some kind of, like, I guess, I'm going to be facetious, rabies from this kid. And according to the Pittsburgh police, the mother of the family then actually hit the lady. The lady had her window rolled down. She was, I just put my window down, and the woman threw a brick through my window and hit me in the face, said the teacher. And that's when she said, I told you I would get you. And she goes, I didn't realize, she said, but then something else hit her in the back, and then two men hit her and attacked her. And she goes, my heart goes out to the child, because this is what the mother taught the child. Whatever it is, you know, you solve it with violence, says Davis. Watkins suffered facial injuries and a lost tooth. I mean, she got busted in the face so hard and busted her tooth out, guys. It's in the joke. She was taken by ambulance to the Allegheny General Hospital and listed in stable condition. Her head is hurting. Her face was totally swollen. And they want to make sure they're going to do a scan to make sure she didn't, like, fracture her sinuses or whatever. KDK reached out to Pittsburgh's public school district officials multiple times on Wednesday, but they refused to make any comment. Davis, the teacher, said her family would rely on their faith in their battle for justice. She's a Christian lady. She goes, let the Lord fight this for me. I'm going to do this right, do it the right way, she said. I mean, I got to give her credit. She's a really, really pretty black lady, and I really feel sorry for this happened to her in Pittsburgh. And this child actually came up to her in such a fashion and actually latched onto her like an attack dog and bit her. I mean, I don't even understand how this stuff happens, guys. How are we raising these children? What happened to our moral compass? What happened to the fact that, you know, we're supposed to bring honor and glory to God and all that we do, think, and say? Well, now we're supposed to be running around like animals biting people, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, it's so pretty
stupid.
It really is, man. It's pretty bizarre behavior. I mean, it's... Yeah, I mean, and a lot of it, man, is because we don't raise kids anymore, man. Like they said, and your dad said, you know, why'd Rome fall? Because they stopped raising little Romans. We're not raising little Americans anymore. Mm-hmm. We're raising little degenerate wannabes that think they're entitled to everything, and they get offended by anything that they don't agree with. That's where this generation is now, man. A huge percentage of this generation does not know how to handle being told no. They don't know how to handle waiting for anything, and they sure as heck don't know how to handle somebody anybody that disagrees with them or doesn't share their same opinion. I mean, look at all these kids that are running around with these Antifa groups and Black Lives Matter shutting down the freeways. I mean, shutting down commerce, shutting down roadways and holding hands and shutting down the road so nobody can drive by to try and protest. Usually absolutely nothing. You ask them or you see them interviewed about what they're protesting, they're like, oh, well, I'm trying to abolish slavery. And they go, well, slavery's already been abolished, you know, for like 150 years. Oh, well, I'm trying to stop oppression. Okay, well, what oppression are you talking about? Well, the Nazis are coming. What? Well, you didn't even make any sense. Just babble. That's what they do, man. They don't even know what's going on anywhere, so they just run around and act like total degenerates, and if they don't get their way, they pitch a fit and bite people now. That's where it's headed. It's really sad. In other news, this is actually something I don't enjoy talking about because it's really weird, but this is something that I'm really happy has happened, at least down here in Polk County, and we've busted a lot of these guys. Multiple undercover sting operations across the United States now has been carried out this month targeting adult and child sex trafficking. The results of many of these stings netted hundreds of arrests, including doctors, pharmacists, high-level military officers, and law enforcement officers. Dozens of children were also rescued, including one as young as 3 months old. They have said that the most we have ever arrested in the history of the sheriff's office, said Sheriff Grady Judd of his undercover operation in Polk County. That's our county that we live in Florida. So I'm glad he got this going, though, because, I mean, I have a child. I have a 17-month-old son. I'm about to have a girl in January. And to hear that, you know, they were able to save a 3-month-old child from, you know, child trafficking, that just boggles my mind. The Polk County Sheriff, Grady Judd, he said he's referring to 277 people rounded up in Operation No Tricks, No Treat, which started last Tuesday and ran through Monday. The sheriff noted that the arrests include lawyers, doctors, pharmacists, current and former police officers, including multiple men looking to have sex with children and convicted sex offenders. During the bust, the sheriff even nabbed a law enforcement officer in his own department. Sergeant Luis Diaz has since resigned from the force after 17 years after filing these charges. In another far more horrifying bust conducted by the FBI, 84 children were saved and 120 human traffickers were arrested. FBI agents and task force officers stayed operations in hotels, casinos, and truck stops and internet websites, according to the release as reported by the Myrtle Beach Online. The youngest victim recovered was a 3-month-old, as I stated earlier. The average age of the victims recovered was 15 years of age. And so when they bust people like this, I mean, I'm glad to see these people off the street. They don't even belong anywhere in civilized society, much less, honestly, to be alive. If people were convicted of this with direct evidence relating to this, I would be fully set on the death penalty for them. I mean, when you start going around and you're selling kids, 3-month-olds, little children, I mean, you're one sadistic, sick individual. You really are. And you don't belong anywhere in society. And if they can convict you of this with direct evidence, I fully support the death penalty on this. But I'm really glad Sheriff Grady Judd pulled a lot of these sickos off the street, especially with how many kids we have down here in Florida, Deb.
Grady's a good friend of mine. He goes to our church, the Baptist Church at the Mall. And he's a good friend. I mean, he's a great guy, and he's a real deal. And he's a constitutionalist. He's a patriot. He's a Christian. He's a preacher. I mean, this guy, he goes to church and preaches. And he preaches in churches. And last couple of years ago, they were fussed at it because he was preaching in his uniform in the pulpit. And the groups came in and said, "You can't do this. This is separation of church and state." And he told them all, pounce. He said, "I'll preach whatever I want to preach in. I'm working as an employee of the Polk County, Sheriff's Department." He goes, "If I want to preach in my doggone uniform to churches, I just promote our church, our the church, and to promote our Sheriff's Department." He goes, "I'll preach in whatever I want. You tell me what I'm going to preach in." And they backed off, Austin. They left him alone because they saw they weren't going to get any traction with him. By the way, speaking of weirdos and perverts with all these nut people that are being arrested, a transgender person on trial now for sexually assaulting a 10-year-old girl in a bathroom. This is what I was talking about yesterday, about how they're putting these transgender boys in the dormitories and sleeping in the same rooms in bunks next to girls and saying they're transgenders. What a problem that's going to turn into. That's over in England. Transgender person on trial for sexually assaulting a 10-year-old girl in the bathroom. A Wyoming weirdo pervert man who identifies as a weirdo pervert transgender woman is on trial for sexually abusing and assaulting an innocent 10-year-old girl in a bathroom. The trial for Miguel Martinez, the total complete weirdo pervert, goes by the name of Michelle, began on Monday. The Billings Gazette reported that Martinez allegedly invited the young girl into the bathroom with him, where he allegedly fondled her breasts and other parts of her body, which I won't mention, before he did other horrible things to her. The girl told police that it hurt, and she started to cry, and then this is what was reported. Nurses at a nearby medical center completed a sexual assault exam and found redness and abrasions. Local medical media reports describe Martinez as a family friend of the 10-year-old victim. Martinez, the sick pervert, told police that the girl had been... Never mind. Martinez faces charges of one of the first-degree sexual assault of a minor. And quite frankly, Austin, I wish they'd take him out back and hang this blankety blank, yeah, blank, 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 blankety blank, blank. That's what I wish they would do. Sicko.
Yeah, that just goes back to exactly what I was just talking about with these sickos. I mean, anyways, and other news now with, this is with Google. This is actually kind of funny, but not really funny now when I started looking into it. They came up with an app, which was actually pretty cool. Somebody talked to me about it not too long ago. And it was an app that you could basically, you put in like your dimensions, your weight, all the stuff on there, and whenever you would walk somewhere, like say, you know, when you pull up Google Map, like with MapQuest, it gives you the options to walk, drive, so and so. Well, when you click walk, it would actually give you the estimated amount of calories you would burn depending on how fast you were walking. So it's a pretty cool app, especially if it's something like when we were walking around, you know, D.C. looking at the monuments last Saturday, we walked a ton. I only Ubered once, just because I really like to walk. I like to see everything. And so it's kind of cool to see how many calories you're burning. Well, of course, the social justice warriors would have no part of this. Absolutely pitched a fit so much now that Google has had to completely pull this app down. It was actually a very useful addition, and it got met with nothing but hate. Apparently telling somebody now how many calories they can burn walking a certain distance is now what the social justice warriors refer to as fat shaming. I'm not joking. They went online and they took to Twitter and just started bashing Google, saying you're fat shaming people for telling them how many calories they can burn when they walk. The feature on Google Maps would show you anything as far as for how many calories, and then you could also have it converted into how much food. So it would say this many calories is this many cupcakes or a cheeseburger, this and that. Well, hardly anything to cry about at all. It's actually a pretty cool option, but the social media blew up on it. So while some were open to the new feature, a storm of angry map users overtook Twitter, claiming that merely being told how many calories could be burned during a walk was a total form of fat shaming. Somebody wrote on here, anyone else feel like the Google Maps feature reinforces the idea that all exercise must be atonement for the sin of eating?
Ridiculous.
In response, Google has decided to remove the feature entirely rather than making it easier for users to opt out of the calorie burning information displayed. And I'm looking at this, I'm going, heaven forbid anyone under any circumstance to actually be aware of how little exercise you're doing. This is why we have the most obese country in the world. Like a third of the teenage population now is morbidly obese or overweight. It's embarrassing now. And the fact that the truth is that people overestimate the number of calories they burn during exercise. This has been documented. In one study, researchers found that normal weight men and women overestimated their calorie expenditure during exercise by between 300 to 400%, which that's a huge amount. It's not a big deal. If you're, you know, wanting to do this or that, if you're eating clean, it's not that big of a deal. But if you're not eating clean and you feel guilty about eating cupcakes and Twinkies and ding-dongs and cheeseburgers and french fries and milkshakes all day long, and you're 200, 300, 400, 500 pounds overweight, and Google says, hey, if you walk here, you're going to burn 200 calories. I guess, Dad, yeah, that would offend you if you're one of these liberal, unbelievably idiotic people that sit there and get offended by anything that doesn't go with your mantra. And that's exactly what they've done now. They've completely deleted this app, which was pretty cool, because everybody took to Twitter and started bashing them for fat shaming when you talk about how many calories you can burn by walking a distance. I thought it was a joke at first, but sadly enough, it was not. So, you still with me? Dad is gone. I don't don't know what's going on with our internet today, but it is horrible, quite irritating. But I will continue to go with what we have going on now. The NHS over in the UK now has announced plans to ban smokers or obese patients from surgery unless they quit smoking or lose weight. Now, the one thing about this, as far as the healthcare in the EU, in the UK, this is kind of what you get. You know, granted, I do not blame any aspect of this. Is smoking cigarettes is not healthy for you at all. Being obese is not healthy for you at all, and it can massively cause complications during surgery. They're saying now that under the new move, smokers will only be referred for an option if they have stopped smoking for a minimum of 8 weeks, and they will be breathalyzed to check this, which, I mean, that's pretty totalitarian, but it is what it is. And but this is kind of what happens when you allow the government to take over healthcare. I'm not a fan of either one of those, using tobacco products or being obese, obviously. But on the other hand, too, if you're paying for healthcare and you want to have an elective surgery or a non-elective surgery and you need to have surgery, it's especially something you really need to have. You know, you really need to be able to have that. When you start allowing the government to completely take control of the healthcare, this is what you end up with. You end up with essentially a government-based, you know, healthcare that can dictate you when and when you can't have surgery, how and how you can't, you know, have certain things. And that's an issue, man. That's a serious issue that I have a problem with. Even though I understand the aspect of it, to me it seems like it's just going more and more down the police state, to the point where they're trying to tell you what you can and can't do. If you want to be obese, that's your choice. I don't want to listen to you complain about being fat shamed or hear about how mad you are that people, you know, are upset with you because you have to take up two chairs in an airplane. Nah, I don't really don't care. It's your problem, not mine. But if you don't want to make the changes, now if you come to me and you say, hey, I really want to change my lifestyle, I really want to get in shape, I will absolutely sit down with you, help you out how to do it, sell you the supplements, do a protocol with you, and keep up with you. I had a buddy of mine that I just wrote out a protocol for him the other day. You know, I charge for that. I try not to do it anymore just because it's so time consuming, but I still do that with some people I know that are working out or competing. I'll work with them and do a, you know, a diet protocol with them, 10, 12, 14 week prep diet, and you know, put them on the right supplements. And usually, I mean, like the base that I started them on was just simply the cinnamon extract, the thyroid support, the ultimate multiple, and the superfood complete as a base starter kit. You don't have to go crazy with it. And then I'm going to throw in some omega-3 fats when we cut down his calories a little bit further. But if people are wanting to change and they want help, I'm all about it. But the people that get mad at you and want to go to Twitter and start condemning Google for coming out with actually a very legitimate app on how to burn calories, how far you walk, I have an issue with that, because the people that actually do want to utilize something that's cool like that and actually want to stay in shape and figure out how many calories they're burning, now they don't have that option. They have to go with a different route or try and find a different app that may or may not be as good, all because these people are offended by people showing them how many calories they can burn by walking. So, yeah, that's just, I don't know, man. There's something that really irritates me about that. Also, in other news, too, this was actually back in May. I brought it up, the House Resolution 327. About the consideration by the U.S. House of Representatives to take the vaccine injury cover-up to a whole new level. This is back in May. It seems to be getting a little more traction in the House now during the fall. I don't know if it's going to be something that actually is pushed through. I really don't think it's going to get full traction. I don't think it can. I hope it doesn't. But it just goes to show you of what the really the mindset is with the government on actual vaccines and what they are trying to do and covering it up. The new resolution essentially goes in and says there's no credible evidence at all that show vaccines cause disabling or life-threatening diseases in healthy adults or children, which to me, the issue with that is that completely contradicts the entire vaccine compensation fund that we've literally paid $3.5 billion out in, and it completely contradicts the vaccine inserts that are in the boxes that say the vaccines have side effects and potential side effects that you need to work out with. So this resolution 327 essentially goes out and says that there's no founded, it basically says that it's unfounded and debunked theories about vaccine dangers and the risk to public health. They essentially don't exist. It throws everything to the side and makes people think that there's nothing to see here. Move along. Vaccines are good. Make sure you get shot up with as many as you want. Also remember, Bill Gates came out with a new one now that he's bankrolling, the single-shot, multi-stage vaccine that he wants to start implementing that they're going to shoot the children up with at birth. It's a controlled-release vaccine for 2 years, supposedly, that's supposed to work for 2 years of vaccination so that kids don't have to get any more vaccines, which I've already told you in detail on the show we did a couple weeks ago on that. I can't even come up with how many bad reasons that is behind it. But this is what they're trying to do now. They're pushing the population more and more and more to not only have to accept them by force like they've done out in California and other states now. They're doing the best they can to cover it up from a governmental standpoint and say, nope, nothing to see here. We're ruling this now. This is a resolution. You can't even really bring it up because it doesn't exist. It's debunked. It's fake news. Vaccines are good for you. They're healthy. They're safe. Get as many as you want. And as we know, if you've done any of your own research, that can't be any further from the truth. So, yeah, we'll keep some more eye on that. Again, I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but just the fact that they actually brought that up really boggles my mind quite a bit. Also, too, as far as in other news with the website, you know, we have a couple new products, the Testo Plus, which just came out, the new reformulated version. It's on sale now for Product of the Week. And that's a very, very popular product that we've been selling a lot of since it just got released last week and it went on sale. We actually have the Tongat Alley, which if you guys know, we carry that separately in another bottle. But we've included now two different compounds in this product that really helps out with increasing the absorbability, actually utilization of testosterone, at the same time helping the body produce more testosterone. So it really helps out with libido, performance, vitality, also strength and endurance in the gym. We've been working on this formula in conjunction with the Muscle Blast for people that really are trying to stay lean, stay in good shape, put on muscle tissue, and grow in the gym. This product really works well in conjunction with that. Also, too, a formula that just got released with the same company that makes our Turmeric Force for us, which is the supercritical extract turmeric, has now just released the black seed oil with turmeric. We just got that in right now. Brand new product. Really, really cool formula that we want to everybody to check out. The black seed oil with turmeric. That's a good formula. It's when you take black seed oil, you guys already know, we've talked about the health effects of black seed oil all the way from, you know, fighting cancer to increasing the immune system to fighting bacteria to fighting off mold. I mean, almost every aspect of it. It's incredible. Then turmeric is an incredibly good antioxidant as well that can fight off all types of issues. Great anti-inflammatory. When you couple both of these together, they really come up with an incredibly effective protocol for a lot of different issues that can come about. So be sure to check that out on the website as well at healthmasters.com. So lots of good stuff we're starting to put together for you guys. Anything you guys have, I've said this before, if you guys have a request as far as for a topic that you want us to bring up, at least a legitimate one, please don't send me ridiculous ones. I have that sometimes. People just come up with off-the-wall stuff for us to talk about, which there's not that much stuff that's off the wall that we won't bring up. We'll talk about just about anything you guys know. But there's certain things that we don't, you know, it's just not really. But if you guys want to bring anything up and email us on the contact form, be sure to do that at healthmasters.com. Would you finally get internet again, Dad, or did you cut out again?
Well, I'm on the telephone. How do I sound? Is it awful?
It sounds about as good as it did before.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I can always have the internet service, but no, the internet, I don't know what's going on with that thing. So we had a great service yesterday, but I'm glad it sounds good now. I'm on the speaker phone in the car, so I'll have to do that tomorrow. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Sorry for the inconvenience for the audio today. So hopefully it'll be better tomorrow. I'll stay on the speaker phone here if it works well. God bless you guys. Thanks for praying for us. Thanks for listening to us. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. And, you know, and one of the other show hosts out there right now that's been selling a lot of products as far as health products, he's got a big mess going on right now because several of his products have been found to be contaminated with lead. I'm not going to mention any names because I'm not going to do that. But, guys, be assured, every single product that we have our Health Masters label on, we have every product assayed for lead before we put it out. I mean, we have a heavy metal testing facility that checks everything that we put out, so we're not going to have any lead in our products. We don't produce stuff like that. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for being here for us. Thanks for listening. Thanks for just, you know, just putting up with us, you know. I guess I could say that too, because I know sometimes we get kind of carried away on the show and get into topics that some of you guys don't want to talk about, and other times, like Austin said, you want us to talk about stuff that kind of gets kind of strange, which we don't want to talk about. Not that soul cooking parties isn't about as strange as it gets. I mean, we've got some weird stuff going on, guys. But guys, I love you. I appreciate you. And again, thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Go ahead and close off. I'll let you do the write-ups from now on while I'm up here in North Carolina. And I appreciate you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless. Bye-bye.
Absolutely, bud. Well, I'm glad he got back in here for a minute. We should hopefully have better service tomorrow. I don't know what was going on with that today, but it is what it is. We always make it work. We always have and we always will. But thank you guys for the support. Thank you for all the phone calls and the emails you send us all the time. And thank you for buying your supplements through us, even if it's just our multivitamin. Makes a huge difference in helping to subsidize this show every month. As you guys know, we don't have any sponsors, we don't have any ads, and that's why we keep this show the way it is. We don't want to have anything that anybody can tell us or direct us differently on as far as what we can and can't talk about. And once you start allowing sponsors and ads and people to come in, that always happens. So that's why you can join an ad-free website at healthmasters.com and a commercial-free 57 minutes of real news Monday through Friday, 7 days a week, or excuse me, 5 days a week at our Ted and Austin Brower Show. So we appreciate all the support with that, guys. And again, like I said, be sure to check out the website, vote on the products of the week, look at the kits that we have, see if there's anything you want. If you can't find what you want or you're looking for something, be sure to email us at healthmasters, and we'll be happy to help you out. Or you can call us at 1-800-726-1834. And I've had a lot of questions about the magnesium deodorant that's being reformulated right now. We should have that out and about in about 2 to 3 weeks. So for everybody that's been emailing me and asking me on that, that formula is coming back. We have not discontinued it. We just wanted to tweak it and make it a little bit better and a little bit easier for everybody to use. So again, thank you guys for everything. You have an awesome, blessed, amazing night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.